Treat your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our special guest tonight, John Ragan, R-A-G-A-N, in case you want to know how to spell his last name, M-B-A, G-G, great guy. John Ragan is the author of The Financial State of the Union. Visit his website, thefinancialstateoftheunion.com, and also go to Amazon, where you can buy his book, The Financial State of the Union, Book 1, Unspinning the Spin, Revealing the Condition We're In. Did you notice a little rhyme there? Huh? He was a poet. He's also a poet, I should say. And we're talking to him about a number of different things, and we're kind of like letting the Spirit, Holy Spirit, guide us into topics, because we didn't plan on talking about really Fukushima necessarily or anything we're talking about. But isn't it interesting how we just pull up a chair to the table? And that's what we're asking you to do. If you're listening to us at home, pull up a chair. Join us at the table. If you're listening to us in your cruiser, we got many, many police officers listening to us. I want to say just be careful out there. And thank you for listening. Thank you for what you do, putting our life on the line. I actually heard from a fireman who listens in the station where he's at. And he's in Idaho. Numerous people all across the globe. Thank you so much for tuning in. A couple of things before we get back to our very special guest. Folks, visit AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. You're going to need to prepare. Prepare for what? Prepare for anything. Supply disruptions. I mean, you name it. And if you don't believe you need it, well, leave it for someone who does. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They have the, really, in my view, the best freeze-dried long-term storable food around. They really do, and they've got some great packages. It's a Christian-owned, veteran-owned business, and also HealthMasters.com. Now, HealthMasters, really, to me, they've got the greatest supplements, dietary supplements, nutritional supplements in the world. You compare it side by side. Even the appearance is different than the drugstore brand and even other nutritional supplements. They use the highest quality ingredients, non-GMO, sourcing out non-GMO sources. That was a question that came up during our conversation with Ted. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the Common Sense show from last night, Ted Brewer was on talking about the occult nature of 9/11. Very interesting topic with Dave Hodges, and I had the opportunity to listen and also talk with Dave and talk to Ted yesterday. Very interesting indeed. And this kind of overlaps. And again, you think you know stuff, and you do. Our audience is the smartest in the world, bar none. And I know you know this, but when you start connecting the dots, it becomes a lot clearer, especially at cruising altitude. Before we get back to our guest, I want to mention again, while you're at Amazon.com, definitely get, as I said, The Financial State of the Union by John Ragan. I'd like to bump that book up too, because you know, it's when you look at what's important out there, Things like this, to me, are important because there's some interesting, I mean, and John writes, I read his book in one sitting. It's that good, okay? And to me, if I can read a book on the economy in one sitting, then I went back, of course, read it in more detail and took notes. But having said that, it's really, I think, a treasure to have, an important part of your library. And while you're at Amazon, go ahead and order Stained by Blood. Thank you for doing so. And if you did order it and read it, then any honest review is helpful. And notice I said honest. If you think it, you know, stunk on ice, well, just say, hey, man, it stunk. But a very important part of my life. And the reason I brought that up again is because through a mix-up, I do have a limited quantity of books. If you want, you can go to stainedbyblood.com. And I don't know how long this is going to last, but I'll sign it for you. I'll personalize it for you and send it out to you. That's stainedbyblood.com. And up in the right-hand side, it tells you what to do. There's a button there. You can buy now and then just tell me how you want me to personalize it for you, or if you don't want me to deface it at all. And we can go from there. So it's, but I just want to thank everyone for listening, and thanks for being part of our extended family. And again, don't fear the information. Embrace it and understand it and know that we are, in fact, going to be, well, we're saved. You know, that's the important part.
Tonight, we're talking with author John Regan, author and speaker and much more. His website is thefinancialstateoftheunion.com, thefinancialstateoftheunion.com. Also, the title of his book, The Financial State of the Union. It's a great read. I would urge anybody who can get their hands on it.
Get it on Amazon. Yeah. Grab it.
Definitely. We talked about a lot of things, Mr. Regan, in the first 2 hours, from Fukushima to the gross domestic product and the how they manipulate the numbers here in the United States. We're seeing something in history, something that we have not seen throughout history, which is the difference in the value of the dollar versus commodity prices. The difference in gold and silver, they talk about the ratio of 15 to 1 is a historical reference for gold and silver, and I believe it's up between 50 and 60 to 1 now. Where is all this headed as far as commodities are concerned?
It's been absolutely insane what we've seen. And reminds me of a time I've given a presentation at the Get Prepared Expo, and afterward this guy comes up and tells me he's got some money that he wants to put away, and should he buy gold or silver? And I turned around and gave him a four-letter answer: salt.
Say what?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Salt, like, you know, salt and pepper? Salt?
Yeah.
All right.
And it was it's kind of funny. The next book I had planned on publishing was to be called The Unprepared Prepper. And when I had made this announcement at the meetup that Vincent has, I wasn't able to watch his face, but Becky was in position to. And I get up there and I say, you know, unless you have at least a ton of salt, you're not a prepper. And, all of a sudden, you could just see a click. And where I came up with that value from, let's just say you had a small herd of cows, 10 cows. Each cow needs 20 pounds of salt a year. That's 200 pounds of salt a year.
Wait a minute. You mean to cook them and eat them?
No, for them to survive.
Okay.
Salt used to be worth more than gold, or at least the same as. We're able to easily mine it today. But salt mines in ancient times, or you had to get water out of the sea and get sea salt. And without salt, it's a critical electrolyte. You could die. There's other salts that are important too, like potassium and magnesium. But
okay, all right.
In today's processed food, we get too much salt. And, you know, technically, there's, you know, if you got the chemistry background, there's a number of different kinds of salt. In our everyday vernacular, salt is sodium chloride, the table salt, and you're actually better off getting one of the mined salts from ancient beds, whether it's the real salt, which is out in the United States, or the Himalayan sea salt, and that has other minerals in it.
All right.
But the point is that once the supply chain goes down, you're not going to have the processed food, and you're not going to have the easy access to salt. So if you want something that's really going to be worth a lot, stock up on salt, even if it's the junk salt.
Interesting.
Okay.
So, okay. Just so I'm clear on this, I'm going to tell my wife, hey, look, we need to make room for a ton of salt, right? Yeah, she's going to think I lost my mind. Okay, so just so I'm clear, salt being a nutrient that will not, or a mineral, I guess, that won't be available come the supply disruptions, and it's going to be a necessary component to things, right? I mean, or for things. And I guess the expression worth is salt maybe has some...
Exactly.
Okay.
And unless you're fortunate enough to live by a salt mine that you could have access to afterwards and has salt that could be retrieved from it. And I mean, even the ancient ways, if you live close to the coast, which large percentage of the population do, the waters are so polluted now that you don't even want the sea salt.
Yeah. I mean, you can't even eat the fish out of the area, what would you want with the water that they die in? I mean, it's definitely, with genetically modified foods, the poison in the air, the water, the food. It is dire times we live in, which leads me to my next question and series of questions for you, Mr. Reagan. The TPP... the Trans-Pacific Partnership, this latest trade pact that we've signed, I believe, with 12 nations. How bad was the gutting of the manufacturing sector here in America with NAFTA, and how bad or how much worse will it be under the TPP?
There's so many balls in the air. I'm old enough to remember, the Ed Sullivan Show, and every so often they'd have these guys come on that would come on, and he'd put these plates on poles and spin them around, and he'd get two or three dozen up there, and you're just waiting for them to crash down. That's kind of like trying to say what's going on with the economy. And yes, when you look back at things like NAFTA and GATT, what that did was it destroyed so much manufacturing in the United States and moved it, first to Mexico, then that labor got too expensive, and, they moved to China, and now China's getting to be expensive. So now what they're doing is moving it to robots. And this is going to be an interesting path that we go down, should we get to continue going down that way, is that so many of the jobs that are done by people today, including those fast food workers that are celebrating the $15 minimum wage, it's all going to be done with robots. We're seeing manufacturing coming back to the United States, but most of the manufacturing is being done by robots. And it's going to be scarier because the thought is that your professional type people are going to be exempt, but these new artificial intelligences are learning so quickly on their own that they will be able to replace very highly educated and skilled jobs, including medical doctors, CPAs, bookkeepers, attorneys. And why don't we just go ahead and throw in government while we're at it, because, only the artificial intelligence can be fair. And of course, we also have an artificial intelligence saying that that it would kill humans.
Not scary at all.
You know, why not?
Not concerning.
Yeah. That would get a little bit rid of a lot of the problems. But you look at all of the law, and I told you during break, you know, we talked about CPAs. The tax code by itself is 7 times the size of the Bible. Last I saw a stat on it. That doesn't even include all the case law and everything else that goes in it. There is no CPA that can come close to understanding all of that. But an artificial intelligence can.
And think about that.
Then there's the doctor side. You know, the doctors are great for diagnosing. They're not so great for treating, especially chronic conditions. They're great for trauma care. But when it comes to diagnosing, and then, of course, the insurance companies tell you what you can prescribe, you know, the artificial intelligence would be able to even access more than a doctor can remember. It doesn't have to worry about continuing education every so often because it's continually updating. And I can give you a stat from a Watson commercial that might disturb your sleep patterns as well. And
go for it. Yeah, let's hear it.
I have to pull it up. I got it in a spreadsheet somewhere. But it's a horrendous number of pages, millions of pages a day. Might even be more than billions of pages a day that it can read. So
I don't even think Ted Brewer can read that fast.
Yeah, you know, I've got one of those photographic memories, just didn't develop.
All right, you're a comedian too.
You need to have that rim shot ready, and you need to be old enough to remember when we had film. But
I get that.
So you think about these doctor AIs that have all this medical knowledge, but one of the things that doctors can't do is they can't keep track of what's going on and around the community or around the state or other communities. But this internet-connected artificial intelligence can start seeing patterns of an outbreak before, practically immediately. It would take weeks or months for reports to catch up in our human world, but not in the artificial intelligence world.
You know, I've heard growing up, John, oh, we're going to be replaced by robots. But now it's true. I mean, now it's even more true, I guess.
And like I said, because they're training themselves now, you're going to see that happen in the professional side much sooner than anybody expected, and to a higher degree than anybody expected.
Okay. So AI, as discussed by Billy Crone here, Pastor Billy Crone, it's coming. It's here. It's here.
And again, this is what we know about. We have no idea what they've got in the black ops area.
Man, you know, pretty witty stuff. All right.
Well, let me take a side trip before we get out of time here, because Wednesday night I was listening to that show, and you had a caller that was suffering from depression.
Right.
Now, I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV, but I got the T-shirt that says, "I survived antidepressants." Mm. And there's a doctor here locally, Jerry Tennant. And boy, could I talk a lot about his experience. He's a world-class ophthalmologist. And they didn't tell him back when they were doing the laser eye surgery that those viruses that are on the eye would go right through the surgical mask and be inhaled. And he picked up a couple of severe infections to his brain and spleen.
Wow.
And It got so bad that, he could diagnose a person but not remember how to write a prescription. And he also started developing tremors, which is not a good thing if you're operating inside somebody's eyeball.
No.
And his blood work degraded to a point that suggested that he would be dead I think it was within a couple of months. This was back in 1999. And all of his medical school training had failed him. And there's a nice story to, you know, how he found ways of treating that. And he's got a book out, Healing is Voltage, which describes the electrical nature of our body. And when you get down to it, voltage is just another indicator. And whether you're talking about voltage, pH, or oxygen, in essence, you're measuring the same thing. But I don't want to digress down there. I got a chance to use his services, and very first time, he hands this nearly 100-page booklet, including bibliographies, Healing with Freshman Medical School Physiology. And part of that talks about the importance of vitamins and minerals. Now, when you're looking at brain chemicals, serotonin is a big one. That's what's really linked with depression. And they also list the, what you need for dopamine and norepinephrine. For serotonin, first you got to have the protein L-tryptophan to build off of.
Right.
Now, if you're not getting enough of that in your diet, you know, chicken's a pretty good source. Fortunately, that supplement's available again. It got banned for a few years because there was a bad batch, and I think, you know, half full of people died. So you can take that, but there's eight other vitamins and minerals that you need in order to make serotonin. And the order that these are listed in, folate, calcium, iron, vitamin B3, zinc, vitamin B6, magnesium, and vitamin C. Now, it was interesting, Dr. Brewer happened to be talking about the link of B vitamins and depression on his Sunday night show. And, of course, he's got those good methylated version of vitamin B that, I think he was saying over half the people can't absorb vitamin D, and this isn't the methylated form.
Right. And that's important to know. Thanks for mentioning that, because would you take that with magnesium, right? Vitamin D3 or whatever he was talking about? Because I heard the same show. Yeah, okay. All right.
And, of course, he's talked a lot about magnesium, and you really have to do that topically, because if you try to take enough of it to absorb by mouth, let's just say you'll be spending some time in the bathroom sitting down. Now, for dopamine and norepinephrine, it's similar. The protein, I hate these mile-long names, L-phenylalanine. And it, for the most part, it needs the same. Folate, iron, zinc, magnesium. It requires copper instead of zinc. No, zinc's there, Vitamin B3, B6, and C. It requires the copper instead of calcium. That's the difference between the two. So if you're deficient in one or more of those, you can't make the chemicals your brain needs. And, you know, when you go to a doctor and you have your 5 minutes with them, if you're lucky to get that much time, you know, how much time do you spend talking about your diet and what nutrition you're getting? Yeah. So in addition to that, omega-3 is critical, because we get, too many omega-6, that's the vegetable oil, and not enough good omega-3, which is from fish, and also it's available in, grass-fed animals. So if you get beef that, is grass-fed instead of corn-fed, you get omega-3s, free-range eggs, real ones, not the ones where they get to go outside 3 feet.
Right.
Those eggs are good sources of omega-3. And, in fact, there was an article, sunshine and fresh air helps too. And, of course, sunshine is the natural way of getting vitamin D. And like he says, if you don't get that, then you do the D3. And it's important to do the K2 along with it. Now, one of my cohorts on USA Prepares is Dr. Norm Shealy. This guy was a neurosurgeon. In fact, he got on the wrong side of the powers that be so much that they published his obituary in the paper as a warning.
You know, I hate when that happens. You wake up on a Sunday morning, you open the paper, and there's your name, you know, right there in the obits. I don't like that. No, I mean, you know, I have, as an investigator, and you'd think that, John, you'd think that there would be, well, there are, I believe now 99% of the publications have ways of verification, but I actually saw that happen back in the 80s. To two separate individuals where their obituary was published before they passed. And of course, they weren't even sick, but it was a method of harassment that was done. So, yeah, I mean, okay, so it does happen.
And you might not know the name Dr. Shealy, but he is the doctor that invented the TENS unit.
Ah, I've got one of those.
So, he's a... He's an interesting character, too. And one of the things that he does is he recommends taking the D3 once a week, if you're an adult, using the 50,000-unit D3. And because it's less expensive than buying the lower dosage and taking, you know, like 5,000 every day.
Well, you equated this with initially with depression. What are we looking at here? Is this some sort of are you saying depression is more of a vitamin mineral deficiency in your view, or
at least in my case, and I would think in a lot of people's cases, because you know, you just look at the building blocks, and you know, just magnesium alone, how many people are deficient in magnesium? And if you're deficient in magnesium, you're not going to be making serotonin. If you're not making serotonin, you're going to be depressed.
Good. Yeah, I can see. Okay, I can see where that all interconnects. Interesting.
So back in '99, I had a really bad time, and I was on these antidepressants, and it was so bad. My goal for the day was just to make it through the day. That's how bad the experience was. But I got myself off of those, and at the time, I was mostly just concentrating on tryptophan and omega-3s, and that worked wonders. You know, I later found out about being deficient in vitamin D, and more recently about the magnesium, which you know, helped with cramps that I was having as well. So
wow.
I just wanted to bring that to the forefront. Saying that if you're one of those out there and you're having problems, you know, you might have to go back to the archive to get the list. If you examine your diet and you don't have those, or in the case of the B vitamins, you might need to get those methylated B vitamins so that your body can use them. You know, try that out first and see if it helps you.
Thanks for that information. And this, folks, spoken from a patient. Victim, whatever you want to call, whatever term you want to use, but one who's got the experience. So that's very interesting. All right. Wow.
So you asked a question back in hour one.
Yeah. Speaking of depression. Go ahead. All right.
Unfortunately, vitamin D is not going to help our debt situation. You asked how much time do we have?
Right.
And when I was originally giving the presentations and writing the book, my answer was, well, I hope we have at least 2 or 3 years that we can use to get ready. But they can crash it any time they want to. And all they would have to do is raise the interest rates back to normal. And that's, say, the 5% range. And I've seen people say, it doesn't even have to be raised that much. You can just raise it to 3%, and that's it. But that kind of leaves open, okay, well, let's say they keep playing this game. They keep kicking the can down the road. And I was reading a banker commenting on this. about kicking the can down the road until we kick the can, or kick the bucket.
Kick the bucket, that's, yeah.
And
sorry.
I started off with the IRS tax stats that I talked about earlier, and that's a pretty good representation of how much income we have. The one area where I needed to add a little to it is, for example, when you're on Social Security, you don't necessarily make enough money to file a return. So what I did is I upped the Social Security amount to match what the government paid in Social Security. So I actually upped that, and I looked at the recent growth rate on that. And then I took two other numbers. One was government spending. And unless they're borrowing, they have to get that from taxes. And I looked at that growth rate in the short term. And then I looked at our debt. Now, you commonly hear about the $19 trillion in federal debt.
Sure.
That's the tip of the iceberg. And we really didn't go through the financial system of the union to build this up. But when I did this calculation, total U.S. debt, which is government debt at all levels, corporate debt, and private debt, what people owe, totaled $60 trillion, or near $60 trillion. We do have good numbers on how much interest is paid. So I know the interest, and I have to be careful there because government spending includes interest payments, so I have to subtract out what government spending on interest so I don't double count that.
Strangely, I understood what you just said. Okay, go on. Go ahead.
And the thing is that, you know, with the exception of the federal government where they just recycle the debt, the rest of us in real life, we have to make some payment towards the principal.
Right.
So I used a number of 3%, which I think is low, and, you know, I try to be conservative on that, and the bad news is if it's more what I think it is, then we end up having less time. So when you take the amount of interest plus 3% of that $60 trillion, that's what our current level was, and I went back, and it turns out that debt and government spending were growing around the same pace. So I put that on a graph. Just I added the two items of debt service and government spending. And that was one line. Then I took income and had that increasing at its rate. And those two lines crossed in 2020, meaning that debt service and government spending was more than what the entire country makes. Now, that told me, and I did this calculation a couple of weeks before the Get Prepared Expo. Was that last year? No, the year before. And you could hear it in my voice. I was just so disturbed about this number, because it points out that we don't have tons of time. They can't push this off a decade. I don't know what tricks they might be able to pull, but you know they've tried zero interest rates, and that hasn't worked. And the only way they can get zero interest rates, negative interest rates even, to work, is to go to a cashless society, because when they go negative, what they did in Japan is they bought safes and put in large denomination bills. So
Right. So, okay.
Now, that is a very simplistic model that just includes two expenditure items. It doesn't include things like food or shelter's kind of in there, because whether you're paying rent or a mortgage, a good bulk of that's in the debt service. So a fair amount of that's in there. Medical expense isn't in there. Transportation, you know, those little things. So if you really want to try and build a better model, you can include those. But I was just trying to get a rough idea. So if that is kind of the end line, we look at history, for example, the Weimar Republic. At the point that things became unhinged, up until the point where you see that, hockey stick move up, and you have that crash, that takes about, 3 to 4 years to happen, at least in those days. In these computer-driven 24-hour, 7-day-a-week economy that we have, I think that's going to be compressed down a little bit. So I was looking at that, and this was 2015 at the time, and 2020, so I'm thinking maybe we can get halfway there, which would be, 2017 and a half.
All right.
Well, if it takes 3 years for that, the end to happen, back up 3 years, and now we're looking at 2014 and a half. What were things looking like in mid-2014? That's when we started seeing all this deflation and negative interest rates.
That was the start of it, basically, right? I mean,
that's what I'm thinking. I'm believing that's the unhitching point, and we're now in that point of the process where we're going to have an increasing rate of increasing pain.
That's never a good thing, but okay. Okay.
And I think part of the reason that we haven't seen more things happen right now, because the way the year started, you remember how the stock market crashed, and then yep. It looked like gold and silver was going to take off, and it's all been kept under control. And I think the reason for that is that if they let things get bad right now, that's going to hand things over to Trump, which is the last thing that they want. So what my prediction has been is that I think we're probably going to be okay through the conventions. Whoever wins it, I can't tell you, but I think they're going to try and keep things at least enough normalcy that people won't just flock to Trump and mess up their plans.
Okay.
However, once we get on the other side of the convention, to me, all bets are off. And what disturbs me on that, a couple of articles I saw last week. One, we had Obama talking about how bad it would be if we had a nuclear terrorist attack.
I saw that.
The other came from Dick Cheney, talking about how he expects us to see another event that's worse than 9/11 soon. So you have people from high positions, both sides of the aisle, saying some things that I really wish they weren't saying right now.
Yeah. The Dick Cheney quote is kind of troubling, thinking how he was part of PNAC, which talked about needing a crisis like another Pearl Harbor before 9/11 happened.
Now, John, I'm going to put you against the wall here and walk us through your best guess scenario, if you don't mind. And I know you don't have a crystal ball. We're all looking at this, wondering what's going to happen. But okay, so here we are, plumping along, and we get to the conventions. Let's start there. You think Trump is going to get the nomination? No, we're just talking.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week with the release of the D.C. Madams records.
Yeah.
Because if that throws Cruz into a negative light, then it's quite possible that Trump could have more than enough delegates, even with all the shenanigans the Republicans have been playing, that he would get the nomination on the first ballot.
And John, not to interrupt your train of thought, but there was an article from the Daily Mail today which said that Cruz had his number. His number was listed in the D.C. Madams Black Book, but they go on to say that the records go back to the 1990s, early 90s, before he was married. So there
WikiLeaks updated that. I saw something with WikiLeaks where they, his number was there. I don't want to say, I don't remember the time frame, but it was more recent.
Okay. Well, it would be interesting to see. I mean, it was picked up by the European publication, so it'll be interesting to see how the American media plays this with Cruz.
Well, or if they just stay silent and the rest of us have to report what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what do you see in the Republican and Democrat? Who do you see facing off against one another? Because I don't believe it's going to be Trump and Clinton. I believe it's going to be Clinton and...
Well, it depends on our first black communist female president. And I'm not talking about Barry Satoru. I'm talking about Valerie Jarrett. Because... You know, Barry is just the empty suit that they walk out there. He's an expert in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. That's why he talks the way he does, to hypnotize people. And
exactly.
He, you know, he does a great job at that. But, you know, he has no real interest in being president except for, you know, the freebies that he gets. Valerie Jarrett has done an excellent job behind the scenes of pulling all the strings. You know, born in Iran to communist parents, you know, even though they were U.S. citizens. You know, she's definitely not eligible to be president. That's a whole nother rabbit trail.
But she certainly, you know, her influence is there.
She's the one, like I said, pulling all the strings. And if she doesn't want Hillary to get the nomination, she's not going to get the nomination. Whether or not she gets indicted, that's still a little bit up in the air. You know, they brought in Loretta Lynch, you know, ties with Clinton. Before all this really started hitting the fan, you saw where Bill and Hillary met with, you know, the golfer-in-chief. Thing was up in New England. So I, you know, like I say, unless the Jared Obama camp, you know, wants to take Hillary down, I think Hillary is no doubt going to be the nominee. Because no matter what happens, I mean, you could have, we've read that if they don't indict, a whole bunch of FBI agents are going to resign. And that doesn't matter because the people that support Hillary don't care what she does. It doesn't matter to them that she's a witch or how many people's been killed. You know, right. She's for gay rights and abortion and everything else that they are.
All right. So we have Kankle or Hillary on the left now. Any what are your thoughts on the right?
If it's a brokered convention, anything can go. They could give it to Jeb. We've also seen.
Telling you, man. John, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm telling you, I really believe it's going to be a Hillary Bush race. I don't know why. My wife thinks I need psychological counseling, but that's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. We've also seen where the filing's been made with the FEC to revive the Romney-Ryan ticket. We will see shortly how this plays out with Cruz, and I don't have time to try and chase it down, but I was reading where up until 1977, the way Canadian law was, you could not be a dual citizen. So in that case, Cruz would have been a Canadian citizen, not a dual citizen, and he's actually one of them illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm. Well, who in the world cares? Because we gave the imprimatur, the okay to Barry Satoru, when everyone, John, and this really riles me, this gets my goat, because everybody on the right, the conservatives, the Limbaughs, the Hannitys, the Levins, Mark Levin, and these boards, and all these conservatives saying, you know what, oh, let's not worry about this pesky little constitutional issue of eligibility, Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution. No. That's okay. We're going to worry about, because that's a distraction. Everything's a flipping distraction, right? And so now, let's not worry about Cruz's eligibility or even Rubio. We know neither one are eligible based on Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States, meaning that you have to be a natural born citizen. And we're still talking about this. And we have been, you know what, folks, our punishment for not dealing with this 8 years ago is exactly what we got today. And thank you very much. Every single conservative who kept their mouth shut and wouldn't say a word, the blood is on your hands, if not more, just as much as it is on the Marxist, communist, progressive, Fabian socialist people out there. All right, I had my rant for tonight. Go ahead, John.
We are in the political season, and that reminds me of a story. You know, at least it used to be this way where, you know, kids were read a bedtime story before they went to sleep. And so one evening, after the story's read, little Johnny looks up and says, "Grandma, do all fairy tales begin with once upon a time?" And she said, "No, dear. Sometimes they begin with, if elected, I promise."
That's funny. Oh, gosh, that's sad.
Joe, we only have about 8 minutes left until the close. If we can jump to this topic next, the globalization of the economy. You mentioned a cashless society. What are we looking at here? Are we looking at a collapse followed by a cashless merger of economies, or are we looking at a consolidation before a crash?
Okay, the short answer is, and this depends on whether or not World War III ends first, because so many things can happen, but say we go down and we have the financial collapse. Well, what normally happens after a financial collapse of this nature is war. And we've got so many great toys to play war with now. And I know you've talked a bit about EMP, and it doesn't even take that much. I could tell you about how you could take, you know, a dozen off-the-shelf, you know, low-end, you know, drones and take down the power grid. And once the power grid goes down, and I don't have time to develop this number for you, but it's a 99.5% fatality rate, and it's not going to take anywhere near a year for that to happen. And that's the happy path. Because if we end up on the other side of the financial collapse, we don't have that war, and our technology remains in place, that's where it becomes really nightmarish, especially if you're, you know, like me, you know, I'm a Christian, a veteran, I believe in the Constitution. Not only that, I get on the radio and talk about it. What do you think my life expectancy is going to be?
Yeah, both of us.
You know, and I would need some time to develop what that type of world looks like, because you don't even get to do things like barter anymore, because everything is so controlled. And to go into that world currency where practically everybody has a phone nowadays, where that would work as a means of support, and then I can get into Mark of the Beast type stuff, where I really believe that the RFID chip and tattoos are just red herrings now, because those are so easy to fake. You know, tattoo, I mean, you could print something to fake out a scanner, and RFID, you can clone the number off of it, and you know, you can't use that for any kind of secure transaction or, you know, entry to buildings or anything. So right. I believe the real mark comes in with the biometrics. And I've clipped a couple of articles along the way where if you look at how the computer would do that, you know, with the veins in the hand, or how it basically puts a mask over the face, drawing, connecting parts and measuring it. And when I look at that, you know, you've got a mark, and it does look kind of beast-like, because it's more natural because it's using biometrics. So I really believe that, you know, Christians will just willingly go up and say, okay, it's just biometrics. It's not an RFID chip. I'll take it. And
but we can't be fooled into taking the mark of the beast, according to the book of Revelation, or according to the Bible, more precisely. We can't be fooled into it, but we can be fooled into accepting what the precursor or perhaps the infrastructure, the building blocks to that, correct?
But, well, it's like the Social Security number is not the mark of the beast, but it's part of the beast system, because you don't just put that type of system in play overnight. It takes years and years of developing that infrastructure. You know what I mean? Look how long it's taken from the introduction of the cell phone, which really didn't even get into the masses till the 90s, and how quickly that's developed. And these handheld phones are more powerful than the mainframes I used to work on. And, you know, that's going to be so easy to use. And keep in mind, again, you know, especially the people that think, I'm not worried because I'm going to be raptured out of here. You know, read about, you know, you need that to buy and sell, and that includes staying in your home. And even if you've paid off your home, there's only a handful of countries in the world that doesn't have property tax. You pretty much would have to head to the hills if we go down that way to escape the beast system. But yeah, how many people, in order to keep the creature comforts, you know, feed their wife and kids, you know, and they're going to, you know, well, it's not an RFID chip. In fact, I'm thinking they might even try to do the RFID first, and when they get the backlash, okay, we'll just do a biometric, because, you know, you've been using your fingerprint on your smartphone so long, just do like MasterCard is doing. You take a selfie and you wink to show that it's live and not a picture, and people are just being lulled into it.
Yeah, I do believe that. Yeah, I believe that we are being that there's this acquiescence along with this ignorance. So go ahead. Sorry.
And you know, you willingly have to accept it, but if you're, and I think this probably gets more into Matthew 25 with the wise and foolish virgins. You know, it talks about having oil for the lamp. And I don't think this is a literal, because, you know, we can have LED flashlights with hundreds of hours battery time. You know, we don't need light to see where we're going in today's society. I think it has to do with the spirituality. You're either, you know, walking the walk, or you're friends of the world. And, you know, especially if you're those that are the friends of the world, you're partaking in all this stuff, and, you know, instead of paying attention and refusing this, you can walk right into it.
Yeah, I'll tell you. That's really, I mean, that's why we do these programs. Because we don't want people walking into that. We want people to be made aware. We want the level of knowledge to be increased. We want people to understand the lateness of the hour. And for the most part, our audience does. But who knows who's listening? Who knows who we're touching? Who are just getting it now and saying, hey, wait a minute. Now it's making sense. And I think right now, John, I think that you've connected many dots. And I just love the way the conversation went tonight. You know, I really do.
Lots of information, but very laid back.
Yeah.
Maybe you can do the Financial State of the Union sometime.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Oh, but you know what? I mean, you're talking about the interesting stuff. The Kennedy things really blew my mind in the bioluminescence, the North Pole, the conversation, and Abe Lincoln flying saucers. I'm telling you, man.
Lost luggage.
Yeah. You guys got to go back and listen to this show. I think we're about out of time.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you, Mr. Reagan. Again, John Reagan, thefinancialstateoftheunion.com is his website. In his book, The Financial State of the Union, it's a great read. Definitely pick it up.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for coming on tonight, John, and look forward to having you on again in the future.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hey, tell Vince I said hello. All right, folks, tomorrow night, Stan Deo, hour number 3. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want, I do have extra copies of my book, Stained by Blood. Go to stainedbyblood.com, and you'll see it on the right there. You can just press a button if you want me to sign it and send it out to you.
Have a safe night, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.